We're doing the Doshot Aran. We're up to page Kuf Vav in the Machon Shalem edition, Reish Lamed Tes in the Mossad Rav Kook edition. And the Aran had just thrown a bombshell. The Aran had just said the Akedah was a choice. Hashem said, Kach no. Hashem was telling Avram, please. In other words, you could say no. And the idea here was, you have a choice. I'm not ordering you to do it. I'm telling you, please do it. I'll be happy if you do it. But you have room to tell me, but you promised. And what I'm asking you is to forgive me for my promise. And that's the kachna. Further, said the Ran, Avraham Avinu could have said, no, you promised. This is my boy. And that wouldn't have even been a sin, and he wouldn't have even been punished for it. What Hashem was saying is, this is what I want, but you could tell me no. And that was the greatness of Avraham Avinu here. And here he says, this is the secret of the Akedah. And he's in the middle of a thought. We were discussing last week how difficult it is to digest this Ran. The Ran continues and says, V'yesh lezeh hochacha b'Yerushalmi. I have a proof to this understanding from the Jerusalem Talmud. Amar Rav Devai, Amar Rav Avin, M'shem Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Devai said in the name of Rabbi Yovnu, said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Avram lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avram said before Hashem, Kalui v'yadua lefenecha ribono shlolam shebesha shamat li lalot et Yitzchak beni al gabei ha-mizbeach haya li lashiv velomar. You know full well, Avram said to Hashem, Master of the world, when you told me to put up my son on the altar, I should have answered and said, Etmol amarta li ki v'yitzchak yikarei l'chazara. Yesterday you said, he will be called my seed. Now you're telling me to bring him up as a sacrifice? Chas v'shalom la'asiti ken. But no, God forbid, I didn't do that. Ela kavashti et yitzri la'asot ritzoncha. I took control of my desires to do your desire. Yiratzon milfanecha, may it be the will before you. Shebshah sheyu banav sheyitzhak nichnasin lidei tzara. That at a time that Yitzhak's children enter a time of dire need, ve'en le'em mishi l'med sanegoria, and they have no answers. They have nothing to say on their behalf. There's no one there who could speak on their behalf. Atateim lamet sanegoya alehem. You should speak on their behalf. Hashem yir'eh re'eh uzcholem akedato sheyitzchak avihem titmalei alehem rachamim. When Avram said at the end of the Akedah, Hashem, you will see, what he's saying is, Hashem, see and remember the merits of the Akedah and have mercy over them. What do we see? Avram could have answered. Avram had an answer. He had a claim. And he knew that. He knew he had an answer. And when Avram did the Akedah, we end up learning from it fundamentals of Jewish faith. Harishon inyan avat Hashem. The first thing we learn is the idea of loving Hashem itbarach belevo avav adechan magad. How far the love of Hashem can reach with those who love Him. I think to most people is beyond their capacity to understand. I remember being in a class where the Rav took out a sefer and said, the sefer we're about to learn, the Jew who wrote this sefer, when he lost his wife, he was overheard saying, Ribbono Shel Olam, now my love can be complete for you. Until now I know it was divided, it was shared. Now I know it can be complete for you. And one person in the audience got up and said, I don't want to hear a word he has to say, and walked out. He said, if that's what he can say when he loses his wife, not interested. So I thought to myself, on his level, he can't connect with that. That's understandable. I don't think you could hold that against him. We're talking about Avraham Avinu. We're talking about something so phenomenal that I think it's very legitimate if a person says, I can't connect to that. That level of love, I don't begin to understand it. We had a student here who was going to be responsible for kashrut for a large community. He was going to be in charge of their kashrut. And we sat on a Thursday night and he asked, is there something wrong if I have a hard time respecting Avraham Avinu after the Akedah? And the answer to that question is in the question and answers online. It's not on the Machon website just because it wasn't here. It was a Thursday night we did outside, not in the Machon, but he said, I believe in Hashem, I believe in the Torah, and I have a hard time connecting with the idea of the Akedah. So the truth is really this deserves a whole class, at least one, if not more, to understand why is this a great act? Meaning, where do you draw the line? We will get a partial answer, and we're getting a partial answer from the Ran. I just want to point out that it's fair if a person says, hey, I hear the words, I don't understand the concepts, this doesn't resonate with me. Okay, and I think that any attempt to explain at that level is futile. You could listen to that class online, and aside from that, give it time. Meaning, there are things which at first glance are difficult to swallow. When I was younger, I couldn't swallow the idea of a bris milah. Poor baby, what are you doing to him? That's why I forced myself to learn milah. Because I realized that that was a fault within me. Meaning, there's what's right, and there's what's kind, and there's what I would like the Torah to say, and there's what the Torah really does say. And I came to a point where I realized, hey, I'm not where I should be if, to my mind, this is something that's wrong. And then I forced myself to learn Mila. That was part of the idea behind it. But okay. Say that. I'm saying, but I think that a person has to give himself time. Meaning, it takes time to appreciate what it means to connect to Hashem. It takes time to appreciate that Hashem really runs the world. And it takes time to appreciate that if He runs the world, then although I have emotions, the definition of right and wrong and good and bad is not contingent on what I would like right or wrong or good or bad to be. And if you think about it deeply, this goes back to the Ramban and the Ibn Ezra about whether there's any logical explanation as to why adultery or incest is prohibited. You could say a lot of things, but at the end of the day, what's the logic? How do you discern which act is meaningful or not? And philosophers have gone so far as to discuss how can you prove anything is really bad? You can say a society can't last if there's murder and thievery. But can you explain to me what's bad about murder and thievery? Yeah, logically. So we are all ingrained with the morality of the Torah, which has been ingrained in the psyche of much of the world. But if a child grows up on an island, what was the name of that story? Lord of the Flies. Yeah, okay. What? Yeah, a group of children, Lord of the Flies. So go explain the logic why it's wrong to murder or to be a cannibal. The Torah gives us a perspective. So the more one understands that good and bad is not, it's not the way the pluralistic society would want to tell you that, well, whatever you think is good is good. No, it doesn't work that way. There is a good and there is a bad, but it starts with the one who has real perspective on what's right and wrong. It's like the question, is the earth revolving around the sun or is the sun revolving around the earth? Which hand is revolving around which? Okay, if you're standing on one, it looks like the other one, right? It's very hard to tell which one's revolving. You can't have perspective until you're out of the system. Okay, so Hashem can give us perspective and can tell us what's right and wrong. Okay, but all of these ideas take time, and you understand that they can be taken to the wrong directions. And that's why it takes time, and it's legitimate if a person says, I need time to digest these things. Yes?
So in this one, like, we talked about how like, the kid is, like, the biggest of the Hashem knows. But, like, in Lavdale, but, like, we see, like, all these other people throughout history, like, we have pagans and Muslims, but they're all killing off their children. And their thing is, like, Shem Shemayim, but, I mean,
there's just like actually
like, looking at like we look at this like completely different. Like we don't say like it's one of those, like, wow, like they really love God. Like we say these people are blowing people up. Like we need to
right. So now, let me ask you: has any one of them spent his life telling other people not to burn their children? Has any one of them spent his life preaching that it's futile and it's wrong and it's cruel and it's immoral for people to offer up their children to idol worship? Has any one of them lived to the age of 80, 90, 100, only then to have a child and have your whole future promised for it to be that child? And has any one of them focused his life on kindness and doing good unto other people and being a light to the world and risking their own life on behalf of other people time and again? If they've done that, and then they, in spite of preaching to all the other people, don't send your kids to suicide bombers, this is wrong, and don't do it, and then they have a time when they think God spoke to them and they did it, then we have what to talk about. But the fact that you have people who go to extremes, and that's what I was saying, these thoughts have to be worked out. But you've always had people who were willing to go to extreme and kill their kids for something they believed in. But the question is, where were they in every other front of their life?
So it's much like the real thing is all about the child you have just to get in yourself.
That's a large part of it. The other part of it is his conversation with Hashem. The clarity he had in the whole picture. Hashem purposely gave him 3 days to think it through. They find some of these suicide bombers all drugged up. And they're not... okay. Here, the key is that Avraham was focused. And that he had a chance to think it over. Or like Chazal say, that he had people coming to him and questioning him time and again as he was en route. He didn't run into it. Hashenit. Secondly, ki en benvuat anvim shum safek im ba'inyan met Hashem itbarach. Prophets have zero doubt whether their prophecy is a vision from Hashem or not. Ki ilu nichnas belibam shum safek, ech yaseh Avraham ha'maseh nifla hazeh. If there's any room for doubt, maybe it was a hallucination, maybe it was a dream, so then how could Avraham go through with this? Maybe he's wrong. How could you kill your kid? And that's what I said based on this, and this isn't really the Ran's idea, this is a Rambam as well, in Mor and Nevuchim, that if a person goes and kills Amalek, and he says, I'm doing it in the name of the Torah, but he hasn't reached 100% clarity that the Torah is true, then he's a murderer. Because he took a risk. Maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong. Okay, I'll just go and kill. A person, if you're going to do an act of that gravity without clarity, then that's like Avraham Avinu. Maybe Hashem said it, maybe he didn't. Let's go kill Yitzchak. That's murder. That's why the Ran says, proof from here is that Avraham had 100% clarity, this is what Hashem wanted of him. Otherwise he wouldn't have gone forward with it. So how do we apply that in our day? Hashlishi, the third point we learn from here. Emunat ha-hisha'arut. The idea that the soul remains. And this we saw, we will see also in the Ramban, in Drashat Torah Hashem Tmimah. Ki im lo yiyagmul va'onesh, ki im ba'olam hazeh. If everything is about this world, hayaleh al adat shavram binu alav shalom yakod bno yichido leman shal yochal achar kach lemadani. If it's only Avraham that stands to gain from the Akedah, so then how could he go forward with it? En safek yachar ma'aseh hazeh asher asah, amudo shel olam lo yisafek kol maskil ki yesh lanefesh gmul nechbad ba'avodato yitbarach, gmul asher lo yishuav lo yidame. Ein lo ratah Elokim zulotcha yaseh lemchakeh lo. Undoubtedly, what Avraham Avinu knew is that Yitzchak wouldn't lose anything by it either. And that's why he could allow himself to go forward, because it wasn't only about himself moving forward in the world, it was also to Yitzchak's benefit. So there has to be a world to come, and it must be much better than this world, otherwise how could Avraham do this to Yitzchak? Hine mi she'aseh ha'maseh hazeh nishan al kedosh Yisrael be'emet. So you see, if someone does this, then he really is leaning on the Holy One of Israel. Ve'eftichanu k'le'atid ve'ashkifenu ve'igalot aleinu amitut ke'avraham avinu alav shalom. Nishen al Hashem brach v'emet kasher nishanhu. And Hashem also promised us in that pasuk that we too will ultimately be on the level where we lean on Hashem the way Avraham Avinu did. So that's the 3 points that the Ran says are validated by the story of the Akedah. Number one, the capacity to love Hashem, how far that can go. Number two, that a prophet is 100% certain when Hashem speaks to him, he knows it's Hashem and he knows what Hashem wants. Number three, the idea that the soul remains after a person passes away. Otherwise, how would Avraham Avinu go forward with this? What benefit is there to Yitzchak in all this unless you understand that the soul continues even after the body passes? And that there's something much better waiting for the soul. So Yitzchak too, in that sense, was benefiting from this. Now obviously this is an idea that needs balance, like the Kuzari discusses. We are not a religion that focuses on the afterlife. That's not the focus. The focus is my job here. But the fact that there is an afterlife, that, says the Ran, is an important principle that we learn from this story.